spiritual journey, Matthew 29. The journey that began that moment, that time, and I can tell you exactly what's going to end. It's going to end for some of us on April the 20th, Holy Saturday at Easter Vigil. For us of us, it's going to end the next morning, April the 21st, during one of the morning masses. But after the homily, you and I are going to be asked to renew our baptismal promises, to make a new offering of ourselves to the Lord. And I'm sure that you and I have a desire on that time to be the best image of ourselves we can be, the best form that we can be. So this Lent is a time to make ourselves better with the power of the Spirit, of course. And so it's the last Sunday, we call. We learn about how to deal with that reality of life called temptations. Most of us don't do too well with temptations, do we? The score isn't really good. We may lose more than we win. We have various things that we do, and sometimes we just give up. But you recall that last week, Jesus was tempted at least three times. At the end of the day, the score was 3-0. He won all three times, and he taught us how to do that. Can you remember? How did Jesus get rid of temptations? What did he do? He quoted
Scripture.
Begins with a B. Five. Okay, quote the Scriptures. Quote the Scriptures. And the invitation was for us to learn the same. To arm ourselves with some Scripture passages so that when we are tempted, and we always are, we don't have to run away from them or try to fight them head on, but we use the Scriptures to not lie. So the score can be whatever it is, 1,000-0 at the end of our temptations. And today we're learning about how to deal with another reality of life, and that is making decisions. How do we make decisions, especially life-changing ones? Jesus has to do that. Up to this point, he's been in Galilee. Remember, Galilee is that northern kingdom, that Samaria is between, and Judea at the bottom where Jerusalem is. If Jesus had stayed in Galilee, if he had spent his whole life there, he could have lived to be a whole man. He was pretty safe up there. He was far away from the enemies in Jerusalem, and they probably would like him to stay up there. Just stay up there, and we're happy. Well, we just ignore each other. But he has a message to give, and the message comes from God. And if the message comes from God, you've got to go to God's people, where God's people gather, and that's the temple in Jerusalem. It's like if you had an idea for something from the state of Wisconsin, some new way to run a program, and you talked about it up here, it'd be wonderful to hear that. But nothing's going to get done. You got to go to Madison. You got to go to the state capitol. And there, find people who support you, and people who don't. That's what Jesus said. He had to go to Jerusalem, and he would met, of course, by a great number of people who did not support him, and they executed him. Because if you don't like the messenger, what you do to the messenger, you do. Right. Why are we so reluctant to say that? It happens all the time, doesn't it? If you don't like the messenger, kill the person. Or assassinate their personality or their reputation. Anyway, so Jesus had to go to Jerusalem. But is it really now? Is this the time to do it? So he goes up the mountain to pray. He asks the Father, what am I to do? And the Father answers, and visibly answers with Moses and Elijah. Moses the great lawgiver, Elijah the great prophet. Remember so frequently in the New Testament, when Jesus is referring to what we call the Old Testament, he speaks of as the law and the prophets. Remember, what's the second commandment? First commandment is love God, second commandment love your neighbor. In this is all the law and the prophets, he says. So the Scriptures are speaking to him. The Word of God is speaking to him. Yes, he's going to go to Jerusalem to his exodus. It was going forth to his suffering and death, but to the glory that follows. And we know that happens. The next 10 chapters are the great journey from Jerusalem, from Galilee north to Jerusalem. Remember, we did that 3 years ago when I was with you during this Lenten season. Marathon here in 10 chapters. So Jesus listens to the Father's word as it comes in Scripture. Back in the 1920s, there was an Irish Benedictine monk named Dom Calamarnion. And he came to Europe and he was made abbot of his monastery. And he wrote many wonderful things. And one of the things that he said was, joy is the echo of God's life in us. Hear that again. Joy is the echo of God's life in us. If God is within me, I've got to be filled with joy, because he is joy and happiness and love and peace and all those other wonderful things. He has a sense of humor. Just look around. He has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Now look at some of the animals that he creates. Oh, wow. What a miracle. said camel is up for a committee. There have been a committee think about that one. Yeah. So, he's telling you a joke here. Honestly, this scripture story is a joke. Not to be taken lightly, but just the opposite. It gets our attention. Jokes can do that. Because everything is visual, isn't it? No matter how you imagine the daytime or nighttime, everything is visual on the top of a mountain, whatever you see from there. He radiates. Moses and Elisha are there. The cloud covers them. It's image and image and image, visual, visual, visual. It's like a drum beat building up to a major vision. We expect God to send us to my beloved Son. Look at him. Gaze upon him. Fall down and worship in front of him. Look at him with your eyes, with your heart. Love him. All true things, but not what God said. What did God say? This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. That was not an invitation, is it? That's not saying, hey, if you got about an hour on Sunday, could you listen to him? He's not saying, during the course of the week, could you maybe find time to listen to him? No, this is a commandment. Listen to him. That's an imperative. That's a command. Listen to him. And like a loving parent, we know God is only telling us to do what's good for us. It's good for me to listen to him. It makes me the better form I can be of myself. Listen to him. Listen to him. Now, we in English know the difference between hearing and listen, don't we? Hearing means the little bones in my ears are working. And it makes little vibrations, little movements. And it sends nervous energy to my brain. And I check if that sound. If you don't hear too well, like I don't, then hearing aids. And then you hear better. That which didn't happen. You hear so much. Listening, however, is very much different, isn't it? Listening means paying attention. For 23 years, I lived in a rectory, and about from half the distance from here to the baptistry was a four-lane highway. And about 100 yards down here was a quadruple railroad crossing, and I was 3 miles from O'Hare Airport on a major runway then. So trains, planes, and automobiles all day long. For the first couple of weeks, that's all I heard. After that, I heard it. I mean, I heard it, but I didn't listen to it, didn't pay attention to it. Now, we've not had that experience, maybe, but we've all had the experience of being in a classroom and the teacher's droning away. Maybe it's good after lunch, you know. After lunch, oh gosh. And she's talking, and our mind starts wandering off. Maybe what we're going to do later on, or what happened yesterday, or some dream that I have. And in the midst of that, all of a sudden, coming through my daydream, it comes through one word that gets my attention. What's that? Your name. Kevin! How can I replay? I remember, I heard what she said, but I wasn't listening. I wasn't paying attention. Sounds like there's some sacrifice there. When I pay my bills, I don't have so much money anymore. I have to sacrifice some money to pay my bills. I had to sacrifice myself to listen to God's word. Again, it's a command from God for our benefit. Listen to him. So, where do I go to hear the voice of Jesus? Where do I go to hear the voice of Jesus? Last night someone said, everyone speaks to Jesus. Not really. I hear words telling me that some people aren't as good as others. I hear words saying that we somehow own this land, so this was ours and not God's. God owns the earth. We are the stewards of it. I hear voices saying that we should push certain people away because of the color of their skin or because of their sexual orientation. I hear other words. Are those God's words? How do I know? How do I know? Where do I go to hear God speak to me directly? Where? The Bible. Who? We've got a good key here, but over here. The Bible, right? The Bible. You can talk in terms, okay? The Bible, yeah, especially the New Testament, specifically the Gospels. To listen to the words of Jesus. To listen to them. Last week teaches about how to deal with our temptations. Very important. This week, how to make decisions. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Go to the scriptures. Find the answer almost automatically. Look in the book, and there is going to be an answer. Your bulletin very nicely has the readings for each day of this week. Take one with you in the bulletin. Find your Bible. Take it off the coffee table so it doesn't do any good there. And open it up to the readings. And you'll be surprised. I guarantee you, you're going to be amazed at the fact that whatever decision you have to make, whatever you have to decide, every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, you open your Bible to that page and there's the answer. It's amazing. God's word, because there's a lot of other words out there. So how do I know that I'm not supposed to resist somebody coming into my country? Matthew 25, 31 says, you welcomed me when I was a stranger. Or you didn't welcome me when I was a stranger, and you are off the side. So listen to God's word. Jesus did. He listened to the word. He brought him to Jerusalem to the cross. It also brought him glory and our redemption as well. That same message is for us. It's not going to be easy. It never is. Was it for him? It won't be for us. We make our choice with God's help. Expect to suffer. Yes, he did too. But after suffering,